What a blessing we've already had this morning, and God is good. Yeah. It's a blessing to see Alan here with us again, and he's receiving so much. I just said to him, now Alan, there's nothing stopping you taking communion if you believe that Jesus died for your sins and he's forgiven you. And he said, I can feel God all over me, Linda. Yeah. He comes in, and he comes in for his cup of tea and his and the praise and worship, and sometimes he'll stop for the word, but God has touched him in a way that he understands. And the blessing of it is he'll stop us in the street and he'll tell us that he's prayed and God has done things for him. And that's the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
I'll just recap a little bit over last week. Andrew preached last week on the power of Jesus over our insufficiencies, and he is sufficient for everything that we need. We finished off, he had just fed 5,000 men plus women and children from just 5 loaves and 2 fishes in the middle of nowhere. And there was 12 baskets. Andrew shared that the baskets were called coffinos, and it would have been sufficient for one man's provisions for a day travelling. And there were 12, typically 12 daily rations left over. And the disciples had witnessed this, they'd been a part of this, and it had been an incredible time. And after this, it tells us in John that after this time, the multitude are talking amongst themselves and they say, let's get rid of this present government. Let's make Jesus our king. But Jesus was having none of this. And so he let's have a read. Turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verses 45 to 52. Father, thank you that you've given us your word, that we are reminded and encouraged, and our hearts are opened and blessed by your Holy Spirit as we read the scriptures, as we read of men and women just like ourselves who heard from heaven, who had a touch of God upon their lives in a way that they could see and understand. And Lord, at those times when they didn't see and understand, the same times as we get confused and we ask for clarity, Lord, I thank you that you give it to us, that your Holy Spirit is sent that we may know you and know you more, that the name of Jesus is glorified and lifted up. So today I pray, Father, that you will open up these verses of scripture to us, that everything that I say would become as nothing, but your word, your living word, will just bring a revelation into the hearts of those who hear it. In Jesus' name I ask it and for his glory. Amen.
Amen.
Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, where he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marvelled. For they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. Immediately after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus tells them to get into the boat. He strongly urges them, he commands them to get into the boat. Now this is the boat that originally had brought Jesus and the disciples over to this land, so they supposed to have had peace and quiet. But before they'd even landed, they said the multitudes had got there because they knew Jesus was going. So they didn't get any quiet time. Does that sound familiar? Sometimes you make plans and you can have some quiet times and it doesn't happen. So they had There'd been multitudes and thousands upon thousands of people there. So Jesus said to his disciples, get into the boat, go on before me, cross the sea before me. And then it says that he dispersed the multitudes. He sent the crowds home. He was having none of this making Jesus king. He said, go home. Go home. Because he needed to spend time with his Father. Many times in the Bible, you see that Jesus, after ministering, will take himself off and he will spend time with God his Father. He will spend time being strengthened. He'll spend time talking to him. He'll spend time in prayer with him. And it's a perfect example of when we're burned out, when we're worn out, when we've given out, when you just say, I'm absolutely exhausted. Now I need to go to bed. That's the time when we need to say, Lord, I need to be refilled. I need to be refueled. I need to come to you. Let me just tell you about today. Let me just tell you what happened. I know you know, but let me talk with you about it. Let me get your perspective on it. Let me take myself aside and let me spend that time with you. And that's a privilege. And when you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you've asked him, forgive my sins, come into my life, help me to live your way, help me to start afresh, show me what to do. Jesus shows what to do. He said, you can't do everything in your own strength. You were never meant to. You can't run on your own fuel for any length of time because we get worn down and worn out. Come aside. Let me show you what I do. So Jesus took himself up a mountain so he could have some quiet time, so he could pray with God. And as his disciples set sail towards Bethsaida, or in some books it says towards Capernaum, but as they crossed the Sea of Galilee, they would have been really tired. They would also have been feeling the effects of that day. But it says that while they were out on the sea, Jesus looked from wherever he was on that mountain. He looked across and he sees the boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. He sees the boat quite far out and he can see the disciples straining at the oars, straining to try and row against a headwind. Now in some of the scriptures it says, in some of the gospels it says it was a boisterous wind. It was a squally wind. It was a fierce wind. And these tired men are now struggling to go against the forces of nature that are trying not to let them get to where Jesus has sent them to be. And they would have been exhausted trying to make headway in this choppy sea. And one commentator wrote it in one of the books he looked at, that the Sea of Galilee, or the Sea of Tiberias, is a deep gouge in the Jordan Rift. And it's surrounded by hills, so that frequently winds would sweep down from the hills and the mountains and stir the water into a frenzy. So you can imagine, it's sort of in a basin with surrounded by hills and mountains. So when the wind comes down, the sea would have been whipped up. And it says, even today the situation is similar, and power boats are periodically warned to remain docked as the winds whip the water up into a rough squall. So these disciples were struggling. They were struggling, they were tired. It was the end of the day, we're told it was the evening. And Jesus looks out and he sees them struggling. Jesus looks out and he sees that they are doing their best to make headway. But for whatever reason, he leaves it until the fourth watch of the night. That's after 3 o'clock, between 3 and 6 in the morning. Now, in the evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea. In the evening. Now, in John, it tells us that boat was 3 to 4 miles out to sea. So these disciples had been really going at it for 3 to 4 miles against the headwind. Jesus looked out, he saw them straining at the oars. And you think, well, why didn't he go sooner? Well, why didn't he go sooner? I don't know why he didn't go sooner. But when he did go, He made all the difference that they needed. Jesus saw them straining to row. And then, sometime after 3 a.m, he walked down the mountain. He walked across the shore. He walked across the water to the boat. And it actually says, in verse 48, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. And I thought, oh, why would he have passed them by? Spend ages then. Why? God, you need to tell me why he would have passed them by. And when I looked it up, it doesn't mean he would have just passed them by. It means he would not have bypassed them. It just means he'd drawn near to them. Jesus never passes us by in our need. Jesus never, ever will leave you in that place where you are exhausted, you are struggling, and you are going against every force of nature that this world and this life can bring against you. All we know is that these exhausted men in their boat saw some sort of apparition. They didn't know whether it was some body, something, walking across the waves that threatened to pull them under, walking across these boisterous waves, this choppy sea, and they cried out in fear. And I can understand why they'd cry out in fear, because this was not normal. This was out of the box. This was something that they couldn't logically come to terms with. Somebody, something is walking on this water, and yet they knew the force of the wind, they knew the force of the waves. They were making no headway, and who was this who was just coming towards them? They didn't recognize him, they didn't recognize Jesus. They couldn't get their head around the fact that it was him. Immediately they cried out, Jesus replied. Immediately, their fear and their overwhelming helplessness cried out, and Jesus responded straight away. There was no hesitation. It's I. It's okay. Be of good courage. Don't be afraid. He says, be of good cheer. It's I. It's me. You're all right. Don't be afraid. Trust me, I'm here. The minute that Jesus gets into the boat, the wind dies, the squall stops, and everything is peaceful and calm again. There are times in our lives when we come up against things that seem absolutely impossible. We cannot control the weather. We cannot control influences that come against our lives that we have no say in. Whether it's sickness, whether it's an ill health, whether it's through circumstances not of your own, you've got debts, you've got worries, you've got problems. There can be things that seem insurmountable. And Jesus knows and sees. But just because he doesn't act straight away doesn't mean he doesn't care. It doesn't mean he'll pass you by. Trust me, I'm here. And it says the disciples were amazed beyond measure. He got into the boat, the wind ceased, and it says they were greatly amazed in themselves. They were amazed beyond measure. They marveled. They were astonished. They were astounded. It was outside of their understanding. They had just witnessed Jesus taking 5 loaves and 2 fishes, getting them to sit people down in groups, lifting this small offering to his Father, praying and blessing it, and they were part of the distribution process to feed thousands and thousands and thousands of people hours before, and yet now the wind ceased and they are astonished beyond anything that they could imagine. It says they were beside themselves, they were outside of themselves with astonishment. They just didn't get it. They still didn't get it. They could not apply their normal logic to Jesus. They knew that Jesus had provided all their needs. They knew that Jesus had just met the needs and beyond of so many. many people, but they could not piece the clues together. They could not understand. And he says they couldn't understand because their hearts were hardened. And when we say, oh, he's got a hard heart, we usually mean that somebody's unkind or they don't care. This doesn't mean that. This means their hearts were blinded. They were like stone. The word that that has been used in this is a word that I'd never heard of before. It's indurate, and that word means to render stubborn. And it means to petrify like a stone, or to form a callus, or to make something hard. So basically they were insensitive. They were dull. They lacked the power of understanding of just what Jesus could do, of just who Jesus was. And we could say that their reckoning, that their emotions, that their understanding had become resistant to develop. Even after Jesus's provision for so many, they saw his all-sufficiency, they couldn't apply that to their own needs. Yes, he fed our bellies, but we're in this wind. What causes hardness of heart? Well, I'll just take you back to the TV, to the goggle box. And we've all seen these adverts, haven't we, where somebody will take a cold drink or they'll have a hot cup of tea and they'll go, ooh, and they'll pucker their mouth and they'll say, use Sensodyne, because it will desensitize your teeth and your gums, and you can now eat and drink whatever you want to in comfort. And they become desensitized. Well, let me just say this to you, and Andrew did share this, he touched upon this when he was talking earlier on. There's a little phrase that says, people can hear the gospel so much they can become gospel hardened. They can become desensitized to the amazing truth and the power of the gospel. The amazing truth that Jesus Christ came to this broken and lost world to pay a price that we couldn't pay. To take every wrong, every sin that had ever been done, that would ever been done, every brokenness, every hurt, every sickness, every disease, every vile, offensive thing, things beyond things that we can even begin to imagine. Jesus took them upon himself and he died on a cross. He separated himself from God the Father, the one that he'd gone up on the mountain to pray and talk to and say, Dad, did you know what went on today? I am bushed. But I'm coming to tell you because I need you. Without you, I can do nothing. Jesus himself knew that unless his father gave him the power to do it, unless his dad said do it, he couldn't do anything. I can do nothing of myself. How much more for us? We could not pay the price for every wrong thing we'd ever done. It was a gulf. There was a separation between us and God that we could never bridge. And the punishment was an eternal separation from God. No light, no love. Hell was never meant for man. But the reality of it is, Jesus Christ himself said, there is only one way to God the Father, and that is through me. I am the way, he said. I am the truth. I am the life. And Jesus died on the cross for us, and he rose again on the third day. And there are people who say, that's a lovely story. That's really nice for you if you want to believe it. And we say there's power in the name of Jesus. I know the name of Jesus has power over my life. There are times when I don't feel it. There are times when my heart gets calloused. And there are times when I get so weary and I get so worn down that my heart feels like a lump of lead. But by faith I will say it, and by faith I will believe it. Well, I haven't got the strength to believe and to say that the Bible tells me that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will utter with groaning when I haven't got the words to speak. That That is the God I serve. That is the Jesus who died for me, who says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. The disciples couldn't see that Jesus, the same Jesus who had the power over the multiplication of food. Okay, was that a simple miracle? No, it wasn't. It's impossible for us to get our heads around. Got into the boat and the wind ceased. And they were astounded. The physical effects of the wind had taken its toll on the disciples. And one of the things that astounded them was there were no boundaries to what Jesus could do to the physical nature of everything around them. Where the sea was choppy, where the sea was rough, where the boat was going up and down, where it was making no headway, Jesus walked on the water. Where the wind was buffeting them, they were trying so hard to get to where he told them to be, Jesus walked into it and then it stopped. It wasn't the first time it had happened, because only a little bit further on in the Gospels, they'd already been on the sea. They were in a boat, and the boat was on the sea, and the wind came, and Jesus was sleeping in the boat. And the wind and the waves threatened to sink the boat, and they had to wake him up, and they said, Jesus, don't you care? We're drowning. We're going under, and you're sleeping. Wake up. And Jesus tenderly rebuked them that time, and he said, oh, you of little faith. The actual word, if I can say it properly, says oligopistos, which means small faith. That's quite a nice word, that. It means an underdeveloped faith. It means a faith that lacks trust and lacks confidence. And Jesus said, I'm here. Just have faith. They'd gone from having that little faith where he'd encouraged them to only believe, because at that time he'd spoken and the storm had stopped. It doesn't say that he says anything in this scripture. It says he got into the boat, the wind ceased, and immediately they were at land. It says in John, I think it is, immediately they were at land. But now, even though they've seen so much, they've seen healings, they've seen deliverances, they've seen the dead brought back to life. Jesus steps into the boat, the wind stops, their hearts are hardened, they're calloused. After so much, they still cannot get their head around it. What is natural matter is no obstacle to Jesus. He commanded the wind that tossed their little boat. It was like a toy in the water. Jesus went to the boat, it stopped. This same Jesus is the one who says, come to me. I died for you. I died so that this could be true in your life. Those things that are buffeting you, those things that are weighing you down, the things you're straining against, I know. But you haven't come yet. Andrew spoke over the power that Jesus has over time. We live by time. We're ruled by the clock. The clock went back last night. We gained an hour. We think that's wonderful. That is nothing. He is outside of time. We can't even grasp that concept. This same Jesus says, I know. What seems like so long to you, what seems like a lifetime to you, what seems like I'll never step into, I know. And when the time is right, you will know. Those obstacles that you're facing, I know. You are not going through it on your own, but I can't feel you. I'm here. Be of good courage. Be of good cheer. I'm here. Amen. Fear not, little children. Amen. For it's the Father's good pleasure. Oh, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you so much. I preached a few weeks back about how we can be a blessing to God. Did you know, do you remember that you can be a blessing to God? Oh, thank you, God, for Jesus. God says, bless you for that. I'm glad you realize it. I'm glad you recognize him. There's so much that we can't understand, but by faith, our eyes will be opened. The Holy Spirit in us will reveal to us what we need to know when we need to know it. We don't want to resist the power of Jesus over logic. We want the acceptance that matter, things, are of no consequence to Jesus. Natural events and forces were created by him, and they are subject to him. There's a warning in Psalm 95, verse 7 and 8, and this is, today, if you hear his name, don't harden your hearts as in rebellion. Talking about Israel. And their hearts were hardened towards the things of God. They witnessed mighty, mighty things that God had done. And then it's reiterated in Hebrews 3, verses 7 to 8. And it says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Today, as the Holy Spirit says, when Jesus Christ is your Lord and Saviour, the Holy Spirit comes and lives and dwells in you, comes and dwells in me. Andrew shared earlier on, we become a new creation. We have a new beginning. And we start to live God's way. But the things of this life still go on around us. The things that we do, the things that we say, God wants to change them bit by bit. He never forces us into anything. He wants us to learn and to grow in him. But we can harden our hearts. We can choose the words that we say. We choose our attitude towards things. We choose to believe or not to believe. And it can be a hard thing. And when you're up against what seems to be an insurmountable object, when Jesus says in the scriptures, if you've got faith as small as a grain of mustard, you can say to this mountain, be removed. And it will be removed into the sea. And you say, yeah, but that's for them over there. I can believe for a healing for them. I can believe for you there. But have you seen what's in my way? Have you seen this solid obstacle that nobody can shift that's in my way? And the Holy Spirit is gently rubbing at that calloused heart, saying, remember, only believe. For with God all things are possible. There is power in the name of Jesus. But my obstacle will not move. My barrier is there and I am worn out and worn down. And the Holy Spirit is buffing that calloused heart and saying, do you recall when you sat under that teaching and Andrew said, Jesus is sufficient for all our insufficiencies. There's nothing so trivial, there's nothing so small that he doesn't care about. Just remember, and you start thinking, ooh, I can feel a smooth bit come in there. Don't harden your heart as in the days of rebellion. Gosh, are we a rebellious people. I put my hand up and say, I know that I'm one of the most stubborn people I know. It's not necessarily a very good trait. Sometimes it can stand me in quite good stead, but most of the time it'll get me into trouble. Gosh, God's got a lot of work to rub all these calluses off me, but bit by bit, oh, I so don't want to be changed into his likeness, because I don't want to be like these disciples. And when I see something amazing happen, be so beside myself with astonishment that I cannot get my head around what's just happened, I want to say, Jesus, thank you. Jesus, look at what you've done. There is nothing in nature that can withstand him. He cursed a fig tree and it died. That was another time, this is a bit further on. And the disciples were astounded. How did that fig tree die so quickly? Oh my goodness, he created everything. He knows the very fibres of our being. Why do we not understand? Whatever physical restraints, whatever natural obstacles cause us to become weary, what cause us to become low, I want us to remember Jesus is sovereign over all things. All things are possible, only believe. We've heard, like Andrew said, we recapped. Jesus has got astonishing power over the trivial, over distance, it's nothing to him, over time. How long have I been suffering this? And it's gone. I haven't got what it takes. I am sufficient for you. In our weakness, he is made strong. Over nature, there is nothing. Let me tell you, nature is changeable. There are some things that will just go on. We know that the seasons come and go. But we also know that man influences the things that are going on around us. We hear about global warming, we hear about climate changes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Nature is subject to influence. Jesus Christ is not. There is power in the name of Jesus. And today I just pray that just as these disciples witnessed the power of Jesus over what was naturally impossible in the face of the wind, in the face of the squall, in the face of whatever storms are in your life, Jesus Christ is above and beyond them. And today I want to encourage you, say, Lord, if my heart is hardened, open the eyes of my understanding. If the calluses have started to grow over because I'm weary, because I'm tired, because I'm struggling, take your balm. Holy Spirit, soften my heart. And let me recognize that Jesus, you're the all-sufficient one. We ask this in his precious name. Amen.